I'm John Baxter, CBS Eye on the World, with my colleague Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News. U.S. Army retired artilleryman Dickinson College visiting Professor Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy to Gaza. Jeff, we talk. We talk to people from the region. We talk to people who visited the region, especially watching Israel media, the television channels. I'm told as of 24 hours ago, the Israeli public is supportive of the pending offensive into Rafah, of the finishing of the job at Khan Yunis, and there's the surprise, something must be done about Hezbollah, a much larger military force. Do you hear any echoes of this as well, Jeff?
Absolutely, John. I was just in Europe, talked to a whole bunch of people who have close contacts with various organizations in Israel, and they say we Americans at a distance that they can misinterpret how the Israeli population is reacting. We see demonstrations that are either against Prime Minister Netanyahu, who is, by the way, very unpopular. We see demonstrations about the hostages. We see Benny Gantz coming over here, who's his opponent, independent, speaking with the vice president, going to London. And we interpret those as indications that the Israeli people seek peace, may be interested in a two-state solution, have some concerns about the plight of the Palestinians. What I'm being told is that's not true. The rage that was ignited in the immediate aftermath of the horrific attack on the 7th of October, in which 1,200 Israelis, women, children, elderly, were butchered brutally by Hamas, persists. And it's not unlike, frankly, the attitude of Americans in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. So the average Israeli, frankly, is no more concerned about the plight of a Palestinian, I believe, as Americans were about the plight of an Iraqi or the plight of an Afghan in the immediate aftermath of 9/11.
Times of Israel headline within these hours. In Gaza, Gallant, the defense minister, hints at Rafah op. Quote, those who think we are delaying will soon see. Now, we're told, estimates here, that there are a limited number of battalions that haven't been fragmented completely by the IDF, and that they're chiefly in Rafah, along with, well, there were a million people there. They talk about a humanitarian corridor. However, none of that can be confirmed, none of it. And then we have this plan to feed the people of Gaza. At the same time, we've got these plans to assault the underground aspect of Rafah. So let's separate these. The plan to feed the people of Gaza includes the U.S. and military personnel over these next weeks. Are we getting on the ground there, Jeff? What do you understand is going on with this proposal?
What's going on is the United States wishes to create a temporary port facility known as a joint logistics over the shore, or a JLOTS, which will allow you to bring a ship up fairly close to land and create, if you will, a temporary port that would allow the direct offloading of that ship. This would allow the ship content to be cleared by the Israeli prior to moving out of Cyprus to make sure it was not containing any contraband weapons and the like that was flowing into the Gaza Strip. This would therefore increase dramatically your ability to resupply and take care of the refugees. The problem is it's going to take a minimum of 30 days and probably more like 60 days to get that in place, number one. In the meanwhile, we've begun doing airdrops. But I just got done reading. We just did a recent airdrop in the last 24 hours, and we dropped about 38,000 rations from aircraft into the Gaza Strip. Well, we only know a certain percentage actually got to refugees. Some fell in the ocean. Some fell behind the lines on the Israeli side or whatever. But the simple math says if you got 2.2 million Palestinians and you think about three meals a day, my math tells me that's about 6.5 million rations every day. If the best you can deliver is about 38,000 a day, that's a small portion of the requirement. Same time, the number of trucks going into Gaza has continually stayed at about 100 or even gone down a little less. It has gone up and down a little bit. But at one point in February, it was lower than 100 as compared to what was being delivered prior to the war, which was about 500 truckloads of supplies entering the Gaza Strip on any single day. So while the requirement is huge in terms of feeding these people who are desperate, now all crammed into in many ways around Rafah, our ability to solve that problem in the immediate future does not seem to me to be all that great. that doesn't even get to the problem of, even if you can deliver the supplies, what's the distribution effort? Who actually is going to be required to provide security for distribution? I've been around refugees in post-conflict operations, John, and I'm telling you, refugees who haven't eaten, their family haven't eaten, they're deprived of water, they're injured, etc., are desperate people. And therefore, you have to have a security cordon around that distribution point, or you get kind of the riots that we've seen that resulted in about 100 Palestinians being shot as they assaulted a convoy only a couple of weeks ago.
They're not going to wait for the resupply by sea on Rafah. That is my information. I don't know when. I don't know how. It might already be underway. They're not waiting. Do you hear any different, Jeff?
No, I don't hear any different at all, John. And this is really problematical. One, I think it may test the actual relationship between the United States and Israel. President Biden has been very outspoken describing the Israeli effort so far as over the top. He has even described the assault on Rafah as a red line. The international community writ large has tried to convince the Israelis not to do this, because if you're already at 30,000 Palestinian dead and 70-plus thousand injured, if you invade Rafah, where you got 1.4 million people now crammed into an area of only a few square miles, which prior to the war only housed 300,000 people, you run the risk of doubling that particular number of casualties.
But at this point, we both agree they're not waiting. Is that correct, Colonel?
They're not waiting. The only question is, are they going to divert, frankly, and take care of Hezbollah in the north, which is also a pressing problem, particularly because of 80,000 Israeli refugees who have had to flee their homes.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News, United States Army retired artilleryman, visiting Professor Dickinson College, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy CEO. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.